Support for KQED Podcasts comes from Star One Credit Union, now offering real-time money movement with Instant Pay. Make transfers and payments instantly between financial institutions. Online or through Star One's mobile app, Star One Credit Union, in your best interest. Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
From KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Alex Hall in Fresno. The Biden administration is expected as soon as today to restore California's authority to set its own tailpipe emission standards. California has been setting its own standards for more than 50 years. A Trump administration effort to revoke that authority has been tied up in litigation. Scott Hochberg is a transportation attorney at the Center for Biological Diversity.
California is getting back its authority to set its own clean car rules, and they need to be the strongest in the nation in order to drive progress forward and meet the state's climate goals.
14 other states have adopted California's strict tailpipe standards. Hochberg says whatever the state does now will have consequences for emissions across the nation. California's battle against single-use plastic waste continues this week. Lawmakers are considering a bill that would limit the types of packaging online retailers can use. KCRW's Kaylee Wells has details.
When online shopping grew during the pandemic, so did packaging. A report last year from the wildlife advocacy group Oceana says Amazon's plastic waste spiked nearly 30% in 2020, although Amazon disputes that. That plastic takes centuries to degrade. The new bill would require big online retailers to stop using common plastic packaging by 2024. Small businesses would have more time to transition by 2026. If this measure passes, retailers would have to use packaging that's reusable, recyclable, or biodegradable. It's not the first time California's tried to do this. A similar bill died last year when a business coalition, which included plastic companies, said eliminating the packaging could lead to more damaged stuff and spoiled food. This time around, the proposal excluded some perishable foods like produce and meat. For the California Report, I'm Kaylee Wells in Los Angeles.
Sea levels along the U.S. coastline are projected to rise by a foot or more by 2050. That's according to new federal data out this week. But what does that mean realistically for California? Well, KQED climate reporter Ezra David Romero has been diving into this, and he's here with us to explain. So, Ezra, can you just give us a little bit of context behind this report? I understand it's building on previous research. Is that right?
Yeah, there's been so much science that's taken place over the past 4 to 5 years. So this is an update to all that work. It focuses on sea level rise across the nation and then in subregions. California's the Southwest.
And what were some of the standout findings from the report?
Three things. One, they predict a lot more flooding. By 2050, typically damaging flooding is predicted to happen 10 times more than it does today, and that's going to vary regionally. They also say about 2 feet of sea level rise by 2100 is expected from the emissions to date, and that higher levels are entirely dependent on whether the world greatly reduces emissions or not. I'm going to let NOAA Administrator Richard Spinrad explain the third.
One of the most profound statements in this report is that the United States is expected to experience as much sea level rise in 30 years as we saw over the span of the entire last century. The report predicts sea levels along the U.S. coast will rise 10 to 12 inches on average by the year 2050.
And so what does all of this mean for Californians?
The interesting thing is that by 2050, sea level rise is expected to be lower here on the West Coast, about 4 to 8 inches. After that time frame, what happens next is really dependent on what happens with global emissions. If the world keeps warming, then ice sheets are at risk of melting in the higher climate scenarios. But Ben Hamlington with NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena says that's a little up in the air still.
I think it's important to separate out the higher scenarios as you get out to 2100 and beyond, because you do have the potential for very large amounts of sea level rise to occur associated with some of these processes that there's still quite a bit of uncertainty about associated with the ice sheets.
Is there anything here that we can be optimistic about?
Well, there's a little bit. When I spoke with the state and local sea level rise officials about this, they said the new data, it doesn't hugely change what they're already preparing for. Their current models are already preparing for a far wetter future of like 3 feet or more. And it'll likely take about a year for the federal projections to make its way into California's plans. The other cool thing is that the new data goes all the way up to the year 2150, which wasn't in that last report. Jessica Fain with the San Francisco Bay Conservation and Development Commission says that extra layer of data will help planning for the future.
2100 is, it might seem like a faraway number, but it's really the lifetime of a person who was born today, right? And so having these further out numbers to think about is something that's really valuable.
And Jessica says there's no reason to lag in preparation because after mid-century, projections speed up and sea level rise and flooding are just going to get worse.
Ezra, this is a lot of information to digest, but thankfully we have you here to explain it to us. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
State lawmakers announced two bills Tuesday to tackle COVID-19 misinformation and disinformation online. KQED's Rachel Miro has more.
Assembly Bill 2098 would encourage the state's medical board to discipline doctors peddling disinformation for profit. Senate Bill 1018, modeled after similar federal legislation, would require social media platforms to disclose data that helps academics and lawmakers see what's being done to counter COVID-19 confusion. Senator Richard Pan of Sacramento says California can't wait for a national solution.
Transparency will allow the public to make informed decisions. And lawmakers and researchers need necessary information so we can hold online platforms accountable and also set standards.
The bills come from a working group of state lawmakers focused on boosting vaccination laws. For the California Report, I'm Rachel Miro.
The Kern County Sheriff's Department says it's received 1,500 inquiries after releasing a recruitment video targeting LA County deputies who could be fired from their jobs if they refuse to get vaccinated for COVID-19. The video was posted to Kern County's social media last week, not long after the LA County Board of Supervisors voted to take vaccine enforcement away from LA's Sheriff Alex Villanueva. Villanueva has been under fire for refusing to force sheriff's deputies to get the vaccine, and he claims the department could lose thousands of employees over the vaccine mandate. Kern County Sheriff Donnie Youngblood says his department does not require deputies to be vaccinated like LA does.
You know, these are 4,000 employees that for 2 years have been responding to calls for service during this pandemic when no one else would do it, not knowing what the end result was going to be with this pandemic, but they still went. And after 2 years, they're offered the option of to get a shot or get fired. That just doesn't make sense to me.
Youngblood says he has 130 jobs that need to be filled.
We're just trying to be innovative to fill vacant positions. Because the truth is, if someone calls 911 at 2 o'clock in the morning and someone's breaking in their house, the last question on their mind will be whether the deputy or the police officer responds is vaccinated or unvaccinated.
Sheriff Youngblood says he's not an anti-vaxxer himself, but believes the decision to get the shot is a personal choice that deputies should make in consultation with their doctor. The revelation this week that San Francisco police used DNA provided by a sexual assault victim to identify and arrest her years later for an unrelated crime is generating national outrage and calls for legislation to ban the practice. KQED's Alex Emsley reports.
A prosecutor in San Francisco DA Chase Boudin's office first discovered the issue in the form of reports from the SFPD Crime Lab. They say a routine search of a local DNA database identified a burglary suspect based on a match to the victim's DNA in a 2016 sexual assault examination. Boudin says the records indicate that the issue goes far beyond the single case and quite possibly beyond San Francisco.
We don't know how many thousands of survivors of sexual assault have their DNA without their consent in violation of Marcy's Law and violation of the Fourth Amendment stored in this database. We don't know if there are children who have survived sexual assault, who have their DNA in this database.
He's saying the practice may be an ongoing violation of victims' constitutional rights, though not directly banned by any law. It could also discourage survivors from reporting sexual assault. As many as 3/4 don't, according to Ilsa Connect, an advocate with the Joyful Heart Foundation.
survivors often feel shame and blame, and they really fear the societal response to coming forward. And this type of action just continues to increase their fear and breaks their trust.
Connect says in her 20 years in the field, she's never heard of DNA from a rape victim being used by law enforcement in this way. San Francisco's police chief says his department is reviewing DNA collection policies, and if sexual assault survivors' DNA is being misused, he's committed to ending the practice. For the California Report, I'm Alex Hemsley.
Another Sacramento area school district is changing its masking policies following a large protest and walkout by students yesterday. The El Dorado Union High School District in El Dorado County says it will no longer exclude students from in-person learning, even if they're not wearing a mask. In a statement, the district said it's changing its enforcement protocol, focusing on educating students and asking them to mask. State health guidelines require that masks be worn indoors at schools, although the Newsom administration says those rules may be relaxed in the coming weeks. In neighboring Placer County, students at schools in the Roseville Joint Union High School District also have the option of not wearing a mask in classrooms, following a recent unanimous vote by the Board of Trustees. Fully vaccinated Californians can now ditch their masks in most indoor settings across the state. But as the California Report's Keith Mizuguchi found, many small businesses in the Bay Area are still taking precautions.
The Hotsy Totsy is a popular bar in the East Bay city of Albany. Co-owner Michael Valadares says they had to shut down the doors around Christmas because of the Omicron surge and just recently reopened. He says the bar will be following state and county guidelines when it opens later today, allowing customers to go without a face covering.
Masks have become a lot more relaxed, and it seems to be this is the way it's going. So we feel a little bit like our hands are tied here. We have to move forward with the mandate.
Valadares says it's already been a challenge to enforce the rules on showing proof of vaccination and wearing a mask while seated in the bar. He says they've even received some backlash from customers about how serious they've taken those rules. The Hotsy Totsy is not requiring staff to wear masks during service, but Valadares expects most of his bartenders to continue wearing face coverings for their own health and safety. Across the Bay Area, many restaurants are requiring that employees continue to wear masks, even though they won't ask the same of guests. Bob Parchright is chief operating officer for Simcoe Restaurants, which operates several restaurants, including Fog Harbor Fish House and Eagle Cafe, at Pier 39 in San Francisco. He says the executive team met with managers before coming to a decision.
They're comfortable with it. They want to keep the staff safe. They want to keep the doors open. No one wants another shutdown or more restrictions by any means. So if wearing a mask can help keep people safe, then we're going to continue doing that for a bit until it feels like the right time to take it off.
Some businesses have decided to keep mask rules in place for both employees and customers, so it may be best to check with them before heading out the door without a face covering. For the California Report, I'm Keith Mizuguchi.
And finally, thousands of fans will be lining the streets of Los Angeles today for the Victory Parade and Rally to celebrate the Rams' Super Bowl championship. The parade starts at 11 at the Shrine Auditorium before making its way to the LA Memorial Coliseum, where a rally is planned outside the stadium. And that's the California Report for Wednesday, February 16th. We're a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Alex Hall. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Support for the California Report comes from Personal Capital, helping people take control of their finances with financial tools and objective advice from a fiduciary advisor. PersonalCapital.com. Paint Care. Now with 800 drop-off sites in California where households and businesses can recycle their leftover paint. More at paintcare.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose philanthropy harnesses the power of people and science to create innovative solutions for a healthy environment, just societies, and opportunities for human achievement.
Support for KQED Podcasts comes from Star One Credit Union, now offering real-time money movement with Instant Pay. Make transfers and payments instantly between financial institutions. Online or through Star One's mobile app, Star One Credit Union, in your best interest. Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.